Hello and welcome to What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in Jasper, Georgia. I believe with all my heart that we're quickly approaching the day of the Lord, the time when our Messiah Yeshua is going to blow that trumpet and call us all home. I want to spend the next few weeks looking at the book of John, because I think the Gospel of John has a lot to say to help us be ready for the time when that trumpet does blow. Verse 3, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So it's a 65-mile trek from Nazareth to Bethlehem. To be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. What does it mean when it says his betrothed wife?
Married and they were engaged, basically.
Right, they're basically engaged. They have not come together in marital relations. They have not. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, which is about 9 months, give or take. I'm not a doctor. And she brought forth her firstborn son. You know, that by itself says she has other children later, doesn't it? But this is the firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths. Keep that in mind when we look at John chapter 8, because that's going to be important. And laid him in a manger. From that we get the idea he was born in a barn, but the manger is the food storage area in the sukkah. It's where you kept the fruits and vegetables and breads and stuff for your meals, because there was no room for them in the inn. Well, if three times a year all of Israel has to come to Jerusalem for the festivals, if they had come, say, in the middle of July, there would have been plenty of room. The reason there's no room in the inn is because all the tourists are there for the festivals. There's not enough sleeping space in Jerusalem, so people stay at Bethlehem and Bethphage and Bethany, all the little surrounding bedroom villages. It was also a great blessing, though, because as I've probably told you before, the inns in those days was one great big room, and all the pilgrims would be sleeping on the floor, kind of in bed sacks all next to each other. And for this virgin girl, probably 13 to 15 years old, to give birth there in front of all these strangers would have been a horrible experience. So for her to be in the sukkah by themselves was actually a very great blessing. So now there were in this same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. These shepherds are not just any old shepherd, they're Levites. The field at Migdal Eder on between Bethlehem and Jerusalem was where they raised the lambs for slaughter in the temple. You couldn't bring a lamb from Nazareth. It wouldn't be kosher. It could come no farther away from the temple than Migdal Eder, which is the shepherd's field. So these are Levites raising lambs to be slaughtered in the temple at the sacrifices. Where's Messiah born? With the other lambs that are going to be the Passover sacrifice. I know. It's all so cool once you see all the little details. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Which is the festival of our joy? The most joyous of all the festivals. It's Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot. It's another indication. The minute you see good tidings of great joy, you know it's Sukkot. Which will be to all people. What's another name for the Feast of Tabernacles? The Feast of All Nations. Yeah. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Messiah the Lord. In other words, the God of Exodus chapter 20 has taken on a body of flesh and blood to be your Goel, your kinsman redeemer. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Which is, by the way, from the Sukkot liturgy. If you're familiar with the Hebrew liturgy from the festivals, that's part of the Sukkot liturgy. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem. Why to Bethlehem? Because Migdal Eder is the shepherd's field just outside the little village. See, this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord's made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. All those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So was this a quiet event? Or is this a big, loud, everybody's going to know? And yet when the Magi come to Herod, Herod hasn't heard.
The angels are making a big noise.
And so were the shepherds in proclaiming to everybody. So immediately you know that if Herod 2 years later hasn't heard, there's something wrong with this story. Because where is Herod's palace? It's called Herodian. It's at Bethlehem. That's right, overlooking the shepherd's fields. Yes, that's Herod's palace, is Herodian in Bethlehem. And if you know anything about Herod, it was said it was better to be a pig in the house of Herod than one of his own sons, because he wouldn't eat the pig. But he killed his wives, he killed his sons. He was so jealous of anybody that might be a threat to him that he slaughtered most of his relatives. And yet, everybody's singing about the birth of this Messiah, the Savior, the Lord, and Herod hasn't heard. Because the events are very close in time, is what I'm trying to get across. And we'll keep looking. Verse 18, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, so when we come here, only 8 days have passed since the birth. When 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Salvation, Yeshua, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived at the womb. And that's where you give the gifts, is at the circumcision. That's where they also do the naming. And it's done in the synagogue. Was there a synagogue in Bethlehem? Yes, there was a synagogue in every town and village. Yes, sir.
Were the gifts that were given typical gifts given at the circumcision?
No.
Or were they were unique? Were they?
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh indicates deity and death. Mm-hmm. They were burial spices as well as an indication of deity. And while on the cartoons on TV, they show whole camel loads of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It wasn't that way. Because in a minute you're going to see that the offering that Mary gives in the temple when she presents Messiah when he's 40 days old is the two turtle doves, the two pigeons, which was the sacrifice that could be given only by the very poor. So they weren't billionaires, you know. This was a small amount of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It was prophetic. The gold indicates deity, the frankincense and myrrh are burial spices. So he was born to be king and die. Verse 22, now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him into Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. At what point do you present the baby? Did we see back in Leviticus chapter 12?
Was it 40 days?
When he's 40 days old. So it says, verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, notice it doesn't say the law of Moses, it's the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb, that is every firstborn male, shall be called holy to the Lord, to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. It's at a ceremony called Pediahabain, which is the redemption of the son. So you give these to the Lord in exchange for the life of the firstborn. And if you were not very poor, you couldn't give the two doves. You had to bring the lamb or, you know, the more substantial sacrifice. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, as the Holy Spirit of God leads him to the temple. And the parents brought in the child Yeshua to do for him according to the custom of the law, which means he must be 40 days old. He's not 2 years old, he's 40 days old. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your Yeshua, your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. Does that say all Jews? It says all peoples. A light to bring a revelation to the Gentiles. That's Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. In the glory of your people Israel. Messiah was always to be for all people, whosoever will may come. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, referring to the crucifixion, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, had lived with her husband 70 years from her virginity.
Seven years,
thank you. She'd been a widow a long time. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, which means she had been married for seven and then widowed for how many years? 84 years. Which makes her an old woman, okay? Maybe 100. Who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So they performed all things according to the law of the Lord, which means it's got to be on the 40th day. They returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. So this is where you match up the recitation of Matthew chapter 1 and 2 with Luke chapter 2. Because he's born, he's circumcised on the 8th day, the angel appears to Joseph and they flee to Egypt. Then in November, Herod dies. Then they're told they can go back. And they present Messiah at the temple when he's 40 days old. And after that, they go where? They go back to Nazareth. So they didn't stay in Bethlehem for 2 years for the wise men to come and see Messiah. Unfortunately, there's a lot of nice Christmas songs and stories that they're not biblical, but they really are kind of touching. Back to the book of John, unless you have any questions about the chronology. Okay. Anybody remember where we were in John chapter 7? It's, yeah.
25.
We did 27. No one knows where he's from. That's we right. said, oh yeah. Micah chapter 5 tells us where he's from. Verse 28. Then Yeshua cried out as he taught in the temple. And cried out here, he's getting angry. They're just not listening. Saying, you both know me, and you know where I am from. And I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. Why is he being so strong here? Well, he's turned water to wine. He healed the nobleman's son. He healed the man by the pool of Bethesda. And they're going, oh, we don't know who you are. You come from this little town called Nazareth. You're nobody. He's getting frustrated. He says, but I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me. Every time he says this, I am from him, he's pointing him back to the book of Proverbs. What did Proverbs say? Do you remember? Let's go look again. Proverbs
32.
Chapter 30. Mm-hmm. Proverbs is right after Psalms. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4. He's saying these things so that they will go back and think about what it says in the Bible, in the scriptures. Proverbs 30, verse 4. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name? If you know. So the only one who's ever come down from heaven to be taken back up into heaven is the Son of God. And they should understand that that's what he's saying. In fact, they do, because they're about to try and kill him again, because they do understand. He is claiming absolutely to be the only begotten Son of God, God from all eternity. Verse 30, therefore they sought to take him. Why?
To kill him.
Because he claims to be God. And they understand it. But no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come, which means God would not permit it. When God says it's going to be 3 o'clock on Passover afternoon, what time is it going to be?
3 o'clock
on Passover afternoon. What if man wants to change that? It doesn't matter. Ain't going to happen. That's right. And many of the people believed in him. And the Greek construction indicates saving faith. They really believe this is the Messiah. Maybe. We're going to see that their faith kind of wavers. It comes and goes. And many of the people believed in him and said, when the Messiah comes, will he do more signs than these which this man has done? Remember, you can look back in Isaiah and see he's going to heal the lame. He's going to do these things. They've been expecting Messiah for all these years to come and to do these things, and Messiah's doing them. If he was a fraud and a phony, would God bless him and allow these miracles to come to pass when he calls for him? The answer is no. Verse 32, the Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring these things concerning him. Now the Pharisees, there weren't very many of them, but they were very powerful. They were very wealthy. And they're really concerned because their power base is threatened. It says, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Notice they don't go themselves. They send officers, which are what?
Kind of
the
soldiers kind of thing?
They're commanders over soldiers. So they're sending a squad of soldiers to go take him. This one unarmed man from Galilee who's talking. They send out these soldiers to go get him. And I love what happens. Verse 33. Then Yeshua said to them, I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. What's that mean?
He knew his time was limited.
He knows. Does the scripture tell us that Messiah would be crucified? It does in Psalm chapter 22. It tells us the very means by which he died. Does it tell us when he's going to die? Where?
Daniel.
Daniel, exactly. So let's go back and look at Psalm 22, and then we'll look at Daniel to see when. And then we're going to go to Hosea to see then what. Wouldn't it have been nice if God just put it all in one spot?
Yeah.
A, then B, then C, then D, and here's exactly the dates it's going to happen. God didn't say glance to show yourself approved. He said study to show yourself approved. Psalm 22. Can anybody quote me the first line without looking? What did Messiah say when he was being crucified? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That's Psalm 22, verse 1. Or in English, my God, why have you forsaken me? When he says that from the execution stake, tree, cross, whatever term you want to use for it, some people just sort of have hot buttons on some of those terms. He's a rabbi, and he wants the people around the crucifixion to think back to Psalm 22. Because what does it say? Verse 14, even 12, start there. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. Why would his bones be out of joint? He's hanging on a tree, that's right. My heart is like wax. What happened when they pierced his side? What came out? Blood mixed with
water.
It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. Remember, they tried to give him sour wine to dull the pain. He wouldn't take it. You have brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. Don't take offense, but the word dog means Gentiles. It refers to the Roman soldiers that are around the cross. Dogs have surrounded me. The word for Hebrew, in Hebrew for dogs is, or for dog singular, is Caleb. Caleb. So Caleb, who was one of the 12 spies from the tribe of Judah, he was a Gentile who'd been grafted in. It's a big story how when we as Gentile believers get grafted into the tree of Israel, into that olive tree, God no longer distinguishes between the natural born branches and us. Caleb was a Gentile, and yet he represented the tribe of Judah when he went out. He was held in such high esteem. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has encircled me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Had crucifixion even been invented when Psalm 22 was written? The answer is no. He says, I can count all my bones. How is that possible? Remember the beating he got? He was beat with a cat of nine tails. You know what that is? It's leather straps that's braided with pieces of glass and bone and nails in it that just rips the flesh from the bone. It says, they look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them. What did the guards do? They gamble for his garment. Why? For my clothing, they cast lots because they didn't want to tear the garment, remember? They didn't want to break it into pieces. Yeah, that's Psalm 22. Now, let's go to Daniel, because time's going to get away from me if I keep digressing. Daniel tells exactly when Messiah would be crucified. Daniel chapter 9, starting in verse 25. Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, which means 483 years. 483 years from that decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, which you find studying the books of what? Ezra and Nehemiah. Books that I think I heard somebody say tonight, we rarely talk to, we rarely study from. So we'll have to get back there and look at some of that. But it says, the street will be built again in the wall, even in troublesome times. And that's the way it was. Even the Samaritans tried to stop the Jews from re-erecting the temple and the city walls of Jerusalem. But it says, and after the 62 weeks, which means at the end of 483 years, Messiah shall be cut off. To be cut off means to be put to death, less than 50 years of age, with no children, no descendants. That's what it means to be cut off. There's no progeny, no descendants to carry on your name. But not for himself, meaning his death would not be because of anything he did, but rather he died for the sins of you and me. And then it says, and the people of the prince who is to come, which refers to the false Messiah, shall destroy the city and sanctuary. So Messiah had to die 483 years after the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, and before 70 AD when the temple was destroyed in the city of Jerusalem. This is why the liturgical readings amongst the children of Israel do not include the book of Daniel chapter 9. Because you read this and you say, Messiah died 2,000 years ago. There's no getting around it. And who does that make Messiah out to be? Yeshua, absolutely. And there's a Targum on every book of the prophets. The Targum is the Aramaic paraphrase that breaks down the Hebrew into easy speak for the people who weren't well schooled in Hebrew. And there's a Targum on every prophet in the Old Testament except for the book of Daniel. Because it said the book of Daniel identifies exactly when Messiah was to come, so there was no Targum. And then turn to the book of Hosea. Hosea is another form of salvation, same as Yeshua. It's just a variation. Turn to the book of Hosea. Hosea comes right before Joel and right after Daniel. Hosea chapters 5 and 6. We've looked at it before. We'll look at it again. Starting in verse 14 of chapter 5, Hosea 5:14. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim, which is the northern kingdom of Israel, Ephraim, like a young lion to the house of Judah, that's the southern kingdom. So the lion to Ephraim talks to the Assyrian captivity. The young lion to the house of Judah speaks to the Babylonian captivity. I will tear them and go away, speaks to the diaspora of 70 AD. I'll take them away and no one shall rescue them. But where is Messiah? Verse 15. I'll return again to my place. And we're going to look in Psalm 110 in a minute to see where that is. Until they acknowledge their offense. In other words, till they recognize their sin and repent. Then they will seek my face, and in their affliction they will earnestly seek me. Their affliction refers to what? The tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble. And then chapter 6 is, the chapter breaks are artificial. The text just went on. What they're going to do when they earnestly seek him, they're going to say, come, let us return to the Lord. The word return is teshuva, which means repentance, repent, come back to God. For he has torn, but he will heal us up. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. So starting with the birth of Messiah, go forward 2 days. A day is the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is 1 day. So after 2,000 years, Messiah is going to return. And he'll raise us up refers to the rapture and the resurrection, the reestablishment of the nation of Israel. So this chapter 5 and 6 tells us that when he's crucified, as he's described in Daniel 9, chapters 24 to verses 24 to 27, he's going to return up to his place. It doesn't tell us exactly where that is here, but it does in Psalm 110. Let's look at Psalm 110, verse 1. Psalm 110, verse 1. And Messiah is going to quote from this, and it's going to be the end of all the arguments that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Romans, the Hellenists, everybody have for Messiah before the crucifixion. This puts it all to rest. Psalm 110. This is a psalm of who? Who wrote it?
David.
David was a prophet. I don't know if you know. He was a prophet. That's why Messiah says, David in the Spirit wrote these words. He was a prophet. It says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. So where has Messiah been since he ascended after the crucifixion? He's been at the right hand of God the Father, waiting for the order to go with the rod of your strength out of Zion, which is prophetic Jerusalem, and to rule with that rod of iron. So that's Revelation chapter 19. So put all those things together. And it tells us in Psalm 22 he was going to die by crucifixion. Daniel chapter 9 says it would be 483 years after the decree to restore and build Jerusalem, but before the temple fell. Hosea 5 and 6 says after the crucifixion he's going to ascend up to his place until the 2,000 years pass and the children of Israel repent and cry out for the Lord, which happens in their affliction at the battle of Gog and Magog. And from the time of his ascension, he's been waiting at the right hand of the Father saying, is it time? Is it time? I want to go. I want to go. But it's not yet time. And he knows that. Well, that's all the time we have for this week, folks. We'll come back to the book of John next week, Lord willing, if we're still here. But I do believe with all my heart that the Lord is coming soon. So I'd encourage you, if you've never been saved, if you've not given your life to God, I would encourage you to do it now. Salvation is by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. If you don't know how to do that,